Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words about play in God's name, by the way, aren't just for children. I think that as we often get older, we forget how to play and we forget how to delight in the Lord. But I think play is a gift that is still offered to us no matter how old we are, and that it is a gift from God that we can continue to enjoy. Well, we are officially in the season of summer. Although we've been experiencing hot weather for some time, summer solstice was actually this past week. And we are officially in the season after Pentecost, which is often referred to as ordinary time. Ordinary time carries us from the day after Pentecost all the way to the season of Advent. It's the longest season in the church calendar, lasting months, not just weeks. The color for ordinary time is green, which symbolizes our growth in faith and discipleship as we follow and live out the teachings of Christ. Advent and Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Eastertide, and Pentecost all teach us about Jesus's life, from the incarnation when he was born to the time he ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit out to all people so that we could become Christ's body in the world. The season after Pentecost, ordinary time, is about us sitting at Jesus' feet and continuing to learn from him so that we can more faithfully be his body in the world. And I also think about how God is so present with us in the ordinariness of our own lives. So although at camp last week the children wanted to come up with a different name for ordinary time because that seems kind of boring, I really love that God is with us in the ordinariness and boring places of life. So today we're returning back to the book of Galatians. We're returning to the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. Last week we listened in on his letter as he reminded them that in their baptism they were clothed with Christ and that their faith journey would look like growing into Jesus. Paul reminded them and reminds us that through the gift of baptism, we will spend our whole lives long allowing God to transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And so today, a few paragraphs later, we pick up where Paul is talking about freedom. Freedom, it's a word that we say and love a lot as Americans. In fact, probably over the next week and next weekend, we're going to be hearing this word a lot more than usual. It's something that we cherish, and to a large extent, rightfully so. It's our nation's freedoms that allow us to worship and to teach God's word without fear of governmental interference. It's our nation's freedoms that allow us to choose careers and leisure activities and so many other things in our lives. But the Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the church in Galatia that there is a freedom that is far greater and far more important than the freedom that humans can find in any government. There is a freedom that surpasses the freedom of religion and a freedom that surpasses the freedom of speech. And that is the freedom that only God can give. And God gives us that freedom in Christ Jesus. Since there is only one word for these two different types of freedom, we can sometimes get them confused. But the Apostle Paul's words that we read today are a good and necessary reminder of the difference between the two and what the freedom of Christ has given us and what it means for our lives. So to sum it all up in just one sentence, through Christ, we have been set free from our sinfulness to serve one another in love. We are set free from sin to love others. Set free from sin to love others. You see, we aren't set free from sin to do whatever we want to do or to meet our own selfish desires. We can do that with our freedom, by the way, but that's not what God asks of us. Our freedom in Christ comes with a calling. We are set free to love others. We are set free to think of others as better than ourselves. We are set free to put the needs of others before our own desires. And let me remind us all here that as Lutherans, we believe that salvation is a gift from God. God doesn't need us to do anything to earn our salvation because we are saved by grace through faith. However, once we receive God's gift of salvation, which we believe happens in the waters of baptism, we are called to spend the rest of our lives living a life of loving our neighbors. This is not an optional call. It's not a recommended call. It's a call to love our neighbors. And we don't get to pick and choose who our neighbors are. All people are our neighbors. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We are set free from sin to love our neighbors and to serve them in love. Paul firmly tells the Galatians that they are not to use their freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. When Paul says flesh here, he's not merely talking about the physical body, but our whole self being under the power and the bondage of sin. We reminded our campers last week that God created our bodies and that God loves our bodies and that our bodies are good. And so too should we love our bodies and care well for them. So what Paul is saying here isn't that our bodies are bad or evil. What he's saying is that when our whole selves are under the bondage of sin and under the power of sin, we become incredibly selfish. Luther defined sin as being curved in on oneself. Have you heard the term before that when we are curved in on ourselves, we become navel gazers? We just are so curved in that we can only really look at our navels. We are navel gazers. That's Lutheran humor, by the way. But we are so curved in on ourselves that we can only see ourselves and we become incredibly selfish. But the freedom that we have in Christ sets us free from being curved in on ourselves. Jesus lifts up our chins so that we can see our neighbors. We can see that they are beloved by God. We can see that they are created in the image of God. And we can love them with the freedom that we have in Christ. Because this freedom, it sets us free from that selfishness. It sets us free from being curved in on ourselves. It sets us free from seeking out and demanding what is best for ourselves before we seek out what is best for others. This week at camp, we talked a little bit about the Ten Commandments. We talked about how there is more to fearing and loving and trusting God above all else than, for example, not killing. So looking around this sanctuary, I highly doubt that any of us would ever kill someone in our lifetime. But that doesn't mean that in not just killing somebody literally, that we are keeping and fulfilling that fifth commandment. Listen to these words that Luther writes in the Small Catechism. So the commandment, you shall not murder. What does this mean? That we are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs. We are set free from this sin so that not only do we not murder somebody, but so that we can serve our neighbors in love by neither endangering them or harming them, but instead helping them and supporting them in all of life's needs. We are set free from sin. We are set free from our selfishness to love others and serve them in love. How about the eighth commandment? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? We are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Instead, we are to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. Through Christ, we are set free from the sin of telling lies about our neighbors and betraying and slandering them. We are set free from the sinfulness and from our selfish desires so that we can serve others in love, so that we can serve them and love them by coming to their defense and speaking well of them and interpreting everything they do in the best possible light. Brothers and sisters, we have been set free from the power of sin in the waters of baptism. We have been given freedom by God to no longer satisfy our selfish desires and our self-centered motives. We have been set free from Christ so that we are no longer curved in on ourselves. Jesus lifts up our chins so that we can see our neighbors, and not only see them, but serve them in love. Hear Paul's words again. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. When you come forward for communion this morning, stop at the font. Dip your hand in the waters, make the sign of the cross over yourself, and remember that in those waters, God drowned your sin, and that when you were raised up out of those waters, you were risen to new life in Christ. You were risen, and our chins are lifted up so that we can live into the freedom that we already have in Christ, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to serve one another with the love of God. Just as we've been saying at the end of the assurance after our confession of sin, you are free to love as God loves. This is most certainly true. Amen.